I covet your prayers as I attempt to bring this message because I want to bring it the way it ought to be brought. I don't want to darken counsel with words without knowledge. I want to bring this message as it ought to be brought, and I feel like I've seen things in this verse of Scripture that I just read that I've not really seen in the past. Let's read it once again. My brethren. He loved the people he was writing to. Have not, possess not, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Notice what he does not say. He does not say, my brethren, have not faith in our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. He doesn't say that at all. He says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. You say, is there any difference? There's a big difference. As a matter of fact, this is the difference between grace and works. Faith in Christ, the faith of Christ. Now, there are a lot of scriptures that speak of the faith of Christ rather than faith in Christ, and I realize some people might think, well, that's splitting hairs. As a matter of fact, if you look at all the different versions, the King James Version is the only version that's faithful in translating every time this faith of Christ as opposed to faith in Christ. And as I said, this is the difference between grace and works. That's how significant this is. Justified by faith in Christ makes faith the cause of justification. Faith is not the cause of justification. Faith is the evidence of justification. Justified by the faith of Christ makes the faith and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ the ground of our justification. Now, is the ground of your justification your faith in Christ, your act of believing, or is it the faith, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if we believe for ourselves. God the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for me. You don't believe for me. If I have faith, I believe myself. But notice, it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have not, possess not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now, how can I personally believe and yet my faith is not mine but his? Because that's what he says. Let's pay attention to the language. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read where he is the author. That means our faith is by him. He's the author, he's the beginner, and he is the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. If I have faith, he's the author of it, he's the subject of it, he's the object of it, he's the ground of it, and he's the finisher of it, being justified by the faith that is in him. Turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 3. Hold your finger there in James 2 and turn to Acts chapter 3. Thank you. This is after Peter had been given supernatural ability to heal the lame man, and the people came up to him wondering at the great deed that he'd done. Verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is," what? "By him, of which he is the author. The faith which is by him hath given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now go back to James. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Our text does not speak of the faith which he is the author and finisher of. Our text speaks of his faith. His faith. His personal faith. "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Now I want to look at several scriptures. Would you turn to Romans chapter 3? Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." The faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't have a King James Version, I bet you it says by faith in Jesus Christ. But that's not what it says. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This is a familiar scripture with many of you, I'm sure, but it's a very important one. Verse 16. "Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." It doesn't say we're justified by faith in Christ. It says we're justified by the faith of Christ. "Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified." Now, this verse shows clearly that this is the difference between grace and works. We are justified by the faith, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by our works. Our faith is not the cause of justification. The obedience, the righteousness, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ Jesus the Lord is my only ground and reason for being justified. Faith is the evidence he did it for me. But I'm not justified because of an act of my faith. I'm justified by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody had to believe God. Somebody had to trust God completely. And that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think of His faithfulness. How He trusted God Even when he was in complete darkness, he never quit believing God. Even when he was suffering the wrath of God with no... And I know what I'm talking about when I talk about this, but he had no feeling of God's presence. He had no feeling of God's favor. He felt nothing but his awful frown and his awful wrath, and he couldn't feel anything that God had any favor toward him, but he never quit believing God. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend, I entrust my spirit." He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He never quit trusting God. When he was a little boy, he trusted him. He said, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He trusted God for power to enable him to live a perfect life. He completely trusted and believed God. And you and I, if we're saved, we're saved because of his trustworthiness, because of his faithfulness, because of his faith to his Father. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. I didn't read that right, did I? In whom we have boldness and access, freedom of entrance, the right to come into his presence with confidence. By the faith of him. The faithfulness of him. Now here's where my confidence comes from. The faith of him. His perfect obedience. His righteousness. His perfect keeping of the law of God. His faith toward his Father. That's where I get my confidence. That's where I get my boldness. I have boldness to come into his presence if his faithfulness is my justification before God. Now, if it's my faith that's my justification before God, I don't have any boldness. But it's the faith of him that gives us this boldness and this access with confidence. Here's another scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness." I don't want to have anything to do with that. Do you? "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." The faithfulness of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now that is where I want to be found. In his faithfulness, in his righteousness. I want to be found when God comes looking for me. There's only one place I want to be found. In his Son, justified by his faithfulness, having his righteousness as my righteousness before God. Galatians 3:22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ." Not by faith in Jesus Christ, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness and his covenant engagements. You see, he agreed to be my Savior, to take full responsibility for the salvation of all of his elect before time began. And he was faithful to do all the Father gave him to do. My salvation is because of his faithfulness to stand as my surety and to keep the law for me and to die for me and to be raised for me and to represent me right now. That is all my salvation, his faithfulness. Not my faith. Now I believe. I do believe. My believing the gospel is the evidence of his faithfulness to me. But my faith isn't my justification before God. His faithfulness. Revelation 14:12 says, "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." Now when James says in James chapter 2:1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons," that means exactly what it says. don't possess the faith of Christ. Now, the one thing that will deliver us from the respective persons is some understanding of the faith of Christ, the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. The absolute perfection of deity. Who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. The work was finished. He's the brightness of God's glory. Now, if you and I ever hold and have the faith of Christ Himself, and we don't get this mixed up and try to mix our works in it, it will be because we have seen Him as the Lord of glory. When you've seen Him as the Lord of glory, it changes everything. John chapter 1, verse 14, John said, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I love that scripture in John 12 when it says, "These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory." You know what he did then? He spake of Him. That's what will happen when you see His glory. You'll speak of Him. He said in John chapter 17, verse 24, "Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Be glory for Me." I think of the... I want you to look at this. John 21. Turn with me there. John 21. An unbeliever could not possibly understand this verse of Scripture. Verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself." John 21, verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not." That's when he's nailed to a cross. Peter was crucified and crucified upside down. He felt like he did not deserve to be crucified the same way the Lord was crucified. What a gruesome death. But look at these next words, verse 19. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." He should glorify God. His glory is such that to be crucified upside down for Him, for His sake, is to glorify God. This is indeed what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, "the glory that excelleth." God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this statement very carefully. Faith is not merely assent to some propositions, thinking those things you hear are true. It's seeing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. That's faith. It's seeing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Now I want to talk a few moments about His glory before we get into how an understanding of this will keep us from partiality, will keep us from the respect of persons. I read this to the class out front today for the kids. Turn with me for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8. His glory before the world was. This is Christ speaking, and he says in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 8, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he had prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Before there was any creation, when all there was God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ tells us, "I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him." And how glorious he was when he stood as our surety, taking full responsibility for the salvation of everybody the Father gave him. He said, "I'll be surety for him." And I think of Judah saying this for Benjamin, and I think more of the line of the tribe of Judah saying this for me. "I will be surety of him. From mine hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him out unto thee and set him before thee, let me bear the blame forever." He took complete... How glorious he is in taking complete responsibility for my salvation. How glorious he was in his incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How glorious he was in his birth. I think it's glorious that he disdained a king's palace and was born in a manger with the smell of manure in the air, showing his disdain for everything that the world thinks of as important and great. The wise men still came to worship him who was born King of the Jews. And when they saw him wrapped in those swaddling clothes in a manger, they fell down at his feet and they worshiped. They knew who he was. How glorious he was in his life. Glorious in holiness. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. How glorious he was when he kept God's law perfectly. He never sinned in thought, in word, in deed. Perfect. Perfection of holiness. How glorious he is in his perfect obedience. You know what I find glorious too? I find glorious the way he treated the Pharisees. The Pharisees represent human religion. And here's what he had to say to them. Hypocrites. Snakes. Vipers. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. You're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You've not known him, but I've known him. If I should say I know him not, I'd be a liar like you are. I love the way he talked to the Pharisees. I admire it. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Oh, I love the way he spoke. Every word. I love the way he spoke to sinners. It was said of him by his enemies, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And you look at the way, the kind, tender, compassionate way he spake with sinners. He said to that confused woman who said, "I know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." He said, "I that speak unto thee am he." He said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He said to that woman, taken in adultery. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He said to that woman weeping at his feet, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. He said to that man laying in a cot that they brought him to him, he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Don't you love his words? Oh, how glorious. How glorious he was when they came to arrest him. He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And what happened? They went backwards, fell to the ground, because he's letting them know at this time, you're not in control of this. I am. And he said again, whom seek ye? And I can imagine how afraid they were when they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I think of how glorious he was before Pilate, when Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? He said, thou couldst have no power at all over me. I love to think of him saying it that way. Except it be given thee from above. How glorious he was when he hung on the cross. They nailed him to a cross at that time. I'm glad that darkness covered the land to let us know that there's a whole lot about this we don't understand there and never will understand. We believe, but we don't understand. But I love to think of him saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And everybody he prayed for was forgiven. Every single one of them. I love the way he said to his mother, Mary, woman, behold thy son. And then he looked at John and said, behold thy mother. And she came into his house at that very time. That's glorious. I think it's glorious when he said, I thirst. No thirst like his thirst. And how glorious it is when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I know the answer to that. Because God's holy. And because my sin became his sin. I deserve to be forsaken. When he took my place, he was forsaken. How we love his words to the thief. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you know what I reckon my favorite words are? I bet you know. It is finished. That comes as good news to my soul right now. It is finished. There's nothing left for me to do. He did it all. And then he, after crying that, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How glorious he was in his death. Why, when he died, what did that Roman centurion say, the man who was presiding over his death? He said, surely this man was the Son of God. How glorious he was in his death. The veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked. Graves were opened. I don't understand all that where it says many saints rose up from the dead and walked around Jerusalem at that time. But I do know this. It's only because of his death that the grave is open to us. And we have a right to go into heaven. It's only by what he did. And he was glorious in his resurrection. He put death to death. He made complete satisfaction for his people. He put away all sin. I love to think of him being in that dark tomb and all of a sudden opening his eyes and getting up and walking out because he had completely satisfied everything the Father gave him to do. How glorious he is in that. He's glorious in his ascension. Lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. He's the Lord of glory. Isn't it glorious right now as my great high priest? There's a man in glory with my name written on his breast right now. And he doesn't say, well, Father, he did it again, forgive him again. No, all he does is show the Father his hands and feet, and nothing else has to be said. He's in complete control as our great high priest and intercessor. What glory there'll be when he returns. When he comes with clouds and great glory. And I love to think of his glory on Judgment Day, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. That's where he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Isn't this a wonderful name for our Lord? Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Something that cannot dwell together is the faith of Christ, the Lord of glory, and respect of persons. Partiality. Showing favoritism to some type of person because of their wealth or because of the color of their skin or because of their educational background, trying to show favor toward them. Now that can't dwell. If you've seen the Lord of glory, you know what you've seen with regard to all flesh? It's grass. Nothing more. You can't respect or show respect to man if you've seen the Lord of glory. Now that doesn't mean you're going to be rude to men and disrespectful to men. I hope by the grace of God, we're nice to people. I hope when they see us, they think, boy, they're really nice. I like them. I mean, I want to present myself that way. But as far as showing respect to persons, none at all. Not in light of who he is. How can you see who he is and be impressed with the flesh and think some kind of fleshly distinction will make it better for you? If I know this person, it's going to help me. If we get these rich people in the church, it's going to help the church. I mean, they can help us more. They can be more of an influence, and they can bring more people in. If we could get some movie stars and athletes and famous people in, and people well-respected in the community, if we could get them in, they could help us, and we'd get somewhere, and our church would grow. That's pure you-know-what. That's all it is. Pure you-know-what. I don't have to go. I wish I could say the word. One of these days I will. When I get old enough, I'm going to start using the word when I need to. Right before I'm going to get ready to die, I'll do it. At any rate, the only reason for the respect of persons is you've never seen the Lord of glory. You see the Lord of glory, there will be no respect of persons. The voice said, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord, that's what endures forever. The Lord of glory. Now, we are saved by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who is so glorious, respect of persons cannot even be allowed. You see, he gets all the glory and none goes to anyone else. And we like it that way, don't we? We like it that way. I like being saved by his faith a whole lot more than I like being saved by my faith. His faithfulness. Now, may we lay hold upon that. Hold not the faith of Christ, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are that salvation is by the faithfulness of Thy dear Son, who stood as our covenant head, our surety, and took responsibility for all of our salvation. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. Enable us to preach Him in this generation. Enable us to hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, without any respect of persons. And Lord, how we thank You that You're not a respecter of persons. For if You were, none of us would be saved. But how we thank You for the respect You have for Thy Son and His sacrifice and the salvation that's in Him. Lord, give us that high esteem of Him. Now bless this word for Your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We got one.